Abundant Life Foursquare Church presents to you a message of hope, grace, and power of Jesus. We trust that you will be inspired by the Word of God as we grow together in Christ.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. And do you remember, perhaps as a child, the first time you went fishing? You remember that? Or you remember taking maybe one of your children fishing? You know, you remember the first time they caught a fish? I mean, I still remember my middle son. He caught a fish. He was so excited, jumping up and down. And I don't know, he might have been 4 or 5. And we brought the fish in, and then sheer terror because, you know, the fish was flopping around. And all of a sudden, he's jumping up like, what am I going to do? And I said, pick it up. You know, we got to eat it. It was just fun to see the excitement because, you know, at least, you know, that first time that you do something like that, because I guess there's must be some rite of passage in catching your first fish, and the whole adventure of that, we remember that. And I was thinking about fishing. Fishing used to be much more than it is today, although obviously there's a lot of, you know, we live out of the sea. It's such an important part of our life. Commercial fishing supplies a lot of needs. Unfortunately, also does a lot of damage. And a little commercial there, I think, you know, it's just concern about our environment, especially in that arena. As someone who enjoys the water and seeing lots of fish, you gotta be aware of that stuff. But, you know, fishing with Jesus, I thought we'd take a look at that in Luke chapter 5. And I thought, you know, here is a moment, because there's actually a couple key moments in Scripture where the disciples went fishing. And it was very notable here. And again, you'll notice in John chapter 21, we're not going to look there, but the very end. So here's kind of like the beginning. I thought it was interesting in the beginning of just the ministry and the calling of just men and women into the work of ministry. And then the very end, just before he would ascend, and at that very moment, there it is, fishing. So let's follow along if you would. Let me read this, and you just follow along with me. I'm going to read all 11 verses, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, I hope I can capture some of the tone here. Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Yeah, that's an amazing story, isn't it? You look at this, and there are things here that, and we have talked about a little bit of this in reference to, you know, the calling of Jesus and the following of him into ministry. I'd like to just focus on the fishing part today. I'd like for you and I to look at, you know, the experience of fishing with Jesus. These men here were experienced fishermen, and you know, they probably wasn't normal for them not to catch fish. I have a feeling that, in their experience, this was their livelihood. And of course, they're in a lake area, a very large lake. It's almost deceptive how large it is. And they are here, and they are doing what they knew what to do. And of course, fishing at this time wasn't the fishing pole and the rod and reel. They did fishing by nets. And so what had happened is they, and again, you get the picture, there were several boats out there, and you know, they would take these large nets, and they would drop them down, and there was on one, on the bottom end of the net were weights, on the top end were floats. And of course, they had lines, and so they would put these nets out and just kind of like scoop them up like a shovel almost, and they would kind of bring it in and pull those lines in, and then put all four corners together, and then just drag it in into the boat. And of course, they, you know, you kind of figure they'd catch some fish. Of course, you know, there's a little bit of work involved with that, and so they spent, and part of what they did too is they would put torches out because the fire, the light would draw the fish to the surface, and then again, they would watch it, and they knew it, and so they've been, you know, casting their nets in, they've been waiting, dragging them in, putting the lights out, positioning themselves, and they spent an entire night doing that, and they caught absolutely nothing. And so you could imagine how, I mean, how would you feel if you had worked hard all night and did everything you know what to do? And I mean, have it, some of you who are fishermen or fisherwomen, and you've gone out to fishing and, you know, you caught nothing. Have you ever gone on a fishing trip and had nothing? So you, some of you, you got that look like, oh yeah, do I know that? Yeah, I remember going, I've gone deep sea fishing a few times in California, you know, and I love it. I went with my dad a few times, and I remember one time we went out, I suffered getting sick. I mean, getting seasick is the worst, right? And if you want someone to get seasick for you, call me. And so we got out there, and, you know, you did all that, and we came back with nothing. And you're thinking, why did I suffer so much for nothing, right? You know, I no fish to show for it, and on. I go, so it's kind of disappointing. And I would imagine they're aching, they're tired, they're ready to go to bed. And of course, you know, the word comes back from Jesus, you know, hey, let's go back fishing. Now, you got to realize, catch the scene. They have fished all night long. Jesus shows up, rabbi, big deal, right? Rabbi shows up and says, Simon, would you push your boat out a little bit farther? I want to sit in that boat a little bit offshore, and I now want to teach those who are gathering here. We're going to have a service. Now, this wasn't like a 20-minute devotional. Back then, you know how it is today, we're all praying for Pastor Steve's 20-minute devotional, right? And I'm sorry for disappointing you. Back then, that was probably a 2 or 3 hour teaching. I mean, they didn't do it. They did it much differently back then. Okay, so fishing all night. Now you're listening to the rabbi, and you know, where are the sanctuary chairs? Where's the Starbucks coffee? where are all the things that, you know, you would like to have because you've fished all night and you have nothing to eat, no coffee to drink, no chairs to sit in, so you're probably standing or you're sitting on the shoreline somewhere, or maybe you found yourself a log, and this rabbi is going on and on and on. Now, of course, he's Jesus, so I'm sure it was very good, right? Give some hint of that. And you're thinking, okay, finally he says, amen, God bless you guys. You're thinking, oh, God, I'm going home. Praise God. I am so tired. Yeah. Oh, God, I got to go home. And all of a sudden, Simon, where are you going, man? You didn't catch any fish. You're right. We haven't. We're exhausted. Well, let's try again. And of course, you know, we got his response, right? It's really pretty exciting. He says, well, Master, we've toiled all night and we caught nothing. Pause. But, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Now, I want you to see something here because we're going to come back to this. That showed a very important concept, respect. Say that word with me, respect. There's something that I want to bring to us this morning. We're going to think about respect and honor and what all that might mean. But out of that, because this is the rabbi, And then he says to Simon, and I love this, now go where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. That, if you miss it, is a transitional moment. When you look at this passage, this is an amazing, what I would call, holy moment of God. The minute he said, go where it's deeper. It's so easy to miss, and all he could see is maybe the practicality of it. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, sometimes you go fishing, and you ever imagine, sometimes I imagine I'm fishing, I think, I must be just, you know, 10 feet too shallow. I wonder if there's anything deeper there. And then you're trying to find that perfect place where you know the fish are hiding from you and they're intentionally not, you know, grabbing your bait or whatever. And so a little something, a little instruction, a little change, go where it's deeper. He gives us instruction. He's finished teaching. And he says, okay, here's practical. I want you to see this. He's now giving a living illustration to what he's just been talking about. We don't know exactly what he was talking about, but I'm convinced Jesus does nothing by accident. He has a perfect lesson plan. He's got soap and sequence with his curriculum. He knows everything he's going to do, and he's had this amazing teaching. Now he says, okay, Simon, I want you to go a little deeper. Put down your nets. And these guys are thinking, really? All right, we'll give it a shot. You're a carpenter, right? And we're fishermen. How do you know this? So again, I want you to begin to see the application, some of the challenges, because here you have basically a stone cutter who is now telling experienced fishermen to go a little deeper in a, you know, just basically just where they were, a little farther out maybe, kind of hedge yourself out a little bit farther, go a little deeper, and try again. In the midst of all this frustration and everything that's going on, you know, I'm reminded Jesus knows our needs. And sometimes he speaks a very simple word to us. He says, listen, I know it's not working for you. Let's try again. But this time I want you to go a little deeper. And sometimes we give up too soon. Sometimes we just don't listen to God very well. And he's been speaking to us. And he just says, listen, I get it. I know you're tired. You're exhausted. It feels like you've come to an end. Just push out a little bit more and just go a little bit deeper. And let's see what happens. Like he doesn't know what's going to happen, right? We don't know what's going to happen. And then you begin to see Peter giving instruction to the other guys. Okay, guys, let's go. The rabbi spoke. And they're all going, oy vey, here we go. I see once again a choice in this. You know, I want to remind you, God speaks a word and sometimes you don't do it. And you might just be missing out on a blessing. I'm just so convinced that listening to God is such an important part of what we do. And I'm also very well aware, as you should be, we have choices in this. I mean, these guys could have said, no, I'm done, I'm going home. This is it, man. I fished all night. I've listened to you preach. I'm going home. I am not going to take another step here because you know what? I'm not sure. And here's the issue. And I wonder, I'm not sure I really respect you and that you really know what you know. You're a carpenter. You're a stone cutter. And you're telling me, an expert fisherman, to go a little deeper. I'm not sure I want to do that. I think sometimes we process things in a way that challenges us, because sometimes Jesus says things that doesn't always make sense to us. And I think sometimes we get trapped by thinking we're experts. And you got to be careful with that, because I've seen a lot of people not do things that might seem on the surface a little irregular and doesn't fit. But when God is speaking, sometimes he wants you to get outside the box and do something a little different. I mean, what would have worse would have happened? They would have gone deeper and wouldn't have caught any fish. I could still hear Jesus saying, well, this was it's all about your attitude, guys. I mean, it's almost like there's a win-win in all of this. But they did catch something. I mean, I think there's something about you and I coming to this place where we really trust God and really know what he's, and open our lives up. God says, will you receive this word? Because as I was processing this, this is a word that I believe God's speaking to some of you right now. And here's the Lord saying, will you go a little deeper? Will you just back up a little bit and go deeper? Deeper in the Word, deeper in your service, deeper in your commitment, a little deeper in your faith. And I hear God saying, just trust me. You may not think it's going to work. You may be questioning it. You may be challenging it. And this may not even make sense to you because you're really good at what you do. But here's what I'm doing as the Lord of the entire universe who knows a little bit more than you do. I'd like you to push out and go deeper in this. And when you trust God and go deeper, amazing things can happen. You know, I teach people how to dive. And as a dive instructor, it's, diving can be a little bit of an anxiety-producing event. You know, I mean, it's like a lot, I mean, I don't know how many of you have ever been under the water, but a lot of times we look at the water and we go, oh, I mean, usually our first thought is Jaws, you know. God, don't ever watch Jaws before you go diving. Not a good idea. You know, and a lot of times we have these crazy notions in our heads, and it looks like it's ominous, it's dark, it's what's in. So you get in the water, and sometimes when you do this for the first time, you're a little nervous. And I'll go this way, it's going to be okay. Well, we need to go a little deeper. I even say those words, you know, we need to get down to, you know, about 60 feet. And they're looking at you with their eyes big, 60 feet. That's deep. And I'm going, amen, that is deep. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to go a little deeper. And here's what I find is helpful. I'll tell this student, just look at me. Let's just keep eye contact. Look at your instruments. And occasionally, I'll hold them by the hand. Even the guys. I'll say, here, just give me your hand. You know, kind of, usually with guys, I hold their wrists, right? We don't want to hold their hand. That's right. So we take the wrist and come on, man, we can do this. Together, we'll go deeper. And it works. I want you to see that what Jesus does that for us. I want you to see that Jesus says, remember we talked about last week? Fix your eyes on? Yeah. Because you can go deeper. Let him touch you because you can go deeper. You can trust him and respect him and you can go deeper. And you might be pretty amazed at what can happen when you do go deeper. It says when they had done this in verse 6, look there, it says they caught a great number of fish. Their nets were breaking. So they singled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both their boats, so much so they began to sink. Simon Peter, he saw all this. He gets back on the shore and literally fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished, amazed, overwhelmed, freaking out at the catch of fish, what they had just taken. We don't know. In John 21, we don't make the mistake. John 21, we know they caught. You know, 153 fish. Here we don't know. There was just so many. You know, I'm reminded of the word that says, he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I love that. Is able to do exceedingly abundantly more. And all you got to do is be willing to go a little deeper. And when you go a little bit deeper, amazing things happen. You know, I believe our faith, we're talking about fortifying faith, our faith releases blessing. At some point, this is obviously faith, right? And so you've got these men, you've got Simon Peter, who's willing to follow the instructions of Jesus. And what did it do? He listened to God. What happened? He was blessed. So here's a crazy thing. Listen to God, be blessed. Like, read the word. Do what the word says, be blessed. Why are we struggling so hard with that? It's like we're arguing with God's instruction on a regular basis, and now we've decided, and we put ourselves in these crazy places where we're now determined that somehow we know more than God, And so how God sets up boundaries, how he instructs us in life, the way we're to do marriages and families and to make decisions and how we handle finances and all these things, we've now decided we know more than God. You got to be careful with that. Last time I checked, God knows a little bit more than you do. And that's why it's so important to have this kind of faith, because sometimes faith, you don't always see everything. I mean, these guys had no idea going a little deeper would have brought such, I mean, they could have thought, well, we'll catch a couple dozen fish. That would have been like amazing anyway, enough to at least feed us. But they got so much, they probably got, my guess is they probably had a month's worth of a catch right there. There was so much going on there. I mean, when God does something, he does it abundantly, exceedingly more. Keep some in of that. Exceedingly, abundantly more. Say it with me. Exceedingly, abundantly more. So you're talking to God, and God says, I want you to go deeper. Be prepared for exceedingly, abundantly more. And then let him bless you. Have the faith that will release blessing. And you know, obviously, that has to do with trusting him. You got to trust God. I believe we trust God in part also out of respect for God. You know, we think about what happened here, and I just love the fact that at this moment, what does Simon Peter do? So he's pretty astonished over this amazing event, falls on his knees, and just, you know, he has this very powerful statement, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I mean, that almost doesn't make sense. I mean, they've just gone fishing. But see, this is why I've got to think this is related to what? His teaching. We don't know what he was teaching. That was in response to the fact that Jesus had just finished a couple hours worth of teaching. So we're getting a bit of a clue as to what he was teaching based on Simon Peter's response. Now, once again, Jesus does nothing by accident. It wasn't disconnected. He had them go back out, go a little deeper. An amazing miracle happened, and they're all thinking, you were just talking about that. And somehow, some way, there was this connection going on. And then Simon Peter is just literally floored to his knees, realizing this is the Messiah. There's something here that just blew me literally out of the water. And I'm on my knees out of respect for this man, for this rabbi, for this, what we're going to see in a moment, a shift that takes place. Because he was known up to this point by Simon. If you look at the scripture, he was identified by Simon Peter as teacher, master. Same thing, master, teacher. That's what they called, or rabbi. So they would have said Rabbi Jesus, Master Jesus, Teacher Jesus, all kind of the same thing in the concept of the time. But I want you to see this amazing paradigm shift. Because faith transforms you. And we see within just a few verses, the paradigm goes from master, teacher to Lord. So he starts off, Simon answered, said to him, Master, teacher, rabbi. At the end of all this, he's heard the teaching, he's had a miracle, and all of a sudden he's faced with all of these things. He's gone deeper. And look what he goes, for I'm a sinful man, Lord. Doesn't say master, doesn't say teacher, doesn't say rabbi. That is not an accident. That is a transitional moment that happens that needs to happen in every human being. I think for a lot of us in the life of the church, he's a master, he's a teacher, he's a rabbi. And we might even say he's Jesus. But is he the Lord? Are you ready to fall down on your knees before the Lord of all creation? Because, and here's what's needed to do that. We've talked about the elements of that. What do you need to get there? Faith. Trust and respect. I believe the church needs to think about whether or not the church respects Jesus. Do we understand how very important it is that Peter at this moment is literally blown away by this amazing connection of everything that's gone on? Very simple. He's worked all day, no blessing. Listened to the teaching, followed through with what God had spoken, receives an amazing blessing. Next thing you know, he's on his knees before the Creator of all things. And he's saying, oh, Lord. Huge transitional moment. Have you made that transition? Have you made that transition? This is a big deal. We get stuck with He's Savior, and that's good. But you can't stop there. He needs to be Lord of your life. And we understand that this has to do with respecting and honoring the Lord. I believe that what we see here and what we capture, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. So why did He say that? I mean, you would think, why does He need to be afraid? Again, you got to connect back to what He was teaching. I believe that there was something that was being taught. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you just got blessed out of your socks and you just got the check for, you know, $10,000 that you've been praying for, which would be like a, you know, a catch of fish that was filling your boat up to sinking, would you be afraid at that moment? I think you'd be ecstatic. Like, wow, praise God, this is awesome. The check came in the mail. Hallelujah. Man, I love you, God. Send more. I mean, there would be this amazing response of, and you couldn't wait to go tell people the blessing, and you'd think, you're so excited. Look what God has done. I listened to the Lord. I went a little deeper, and He blessed me. I got the check in the mail. All my bills are paid. Oh, man, this is great. But Simon Peter fell to his knees, and his response was, what a sinful man that I am. And Jesus responds and says, don't be afraid, Peter. I think that speaks to Peter's heart. Because I think a transition's happening in Peter, where all of a sudden he realizes, I don't think he was taking things as seriously as he needed to. And I think, you ever get caught in doing something wrong? You ever, like, you remember when you were a kid and you got caught? You remember when you had a conscience? I still remember the time I'm going to confess sin here, but I was maybe 10 years old. I figured out that I could go to the grocery store, and they would put, you know, the return bottles out behind the grocery store, and I was smart enough to realize they weren't taking account of them. So I could get behind the grocery store and grab some of the bottles and then take them back into the store and exchange them and make some extra money. Oh, no, don't be judgmental. I saw an opportunity and went for it. And I got away for it for quite a while until one of my friends saw me do it, who had this crazy idea that somehow it wasn't okay to do it. And I remember saying to my friend, what do you care? Like, join me. Let's make twice the money together. I mean, the two of us, we can do it. Oh, no, this is wrong. No, we're just taking advantage of an opportunity here. And, you know, you're having all that. And, well, you know what? I'm going to go tell your mom. Oh, those are the dreaded words. When you're 10 years old and someone says to you, I'm going to go tell on you, and I'm going to go tell your mom. That's it. Life is over. And I'm on my knees confessing. Oh, what a sinful boy I am. Mom, forgive me. I want you to see that's the kind of thing that's happening in the verbiage of this moment in Simon Peter. He all of a sudden got caught. And that's why he fell down on his knees and declared, what a sinful man I am. And that's why Jesus said, Peter, relax, don't be afraid. And I just hear the words that he's going to repeat later on. Peter, I love you. Do you love me? I think this spoke immediately to something that was a lifelong challenge in Peter, is that he struggled with his own insecurities. He struggled with really fully honoring and respecting God in his life. I think there was something that he struggled with. I think that's something we all can struggle with. I see that as something in the church today. And I just hear God saying, you know, I want to bless you. I want to love you. There's amazing things that can happen. All we need to do is go a little deeper. And what we need to do is respect and honor God. Now, here's what I mean by that. Because when you think about the idea of respect, deep admiration, esteem, regard, high opinion, acclaim, admiration, approval, appreciation, favor, recognition, awe, reverence, honor, praise, admire deeply. Honor, high respect, great esteem, distinction, privilege, glory, tribute, credit, integrity, honesty, morality, righteousness. I love this. Right out of the dictionary, high-mindedness, right-mindedness, noble-mindedness. That sounds like a message right there. I almost did that. But I mean, look at those three things. Can you see with me how right now I think the church today is struggling with respecting the Lord? Here's my thoughts. God has said, give. And we don't give. And we have all kinds of excuses why we don't give. There's all kinds of reasons. But when God has said something, who's in charge of all things, says, I need you to do this, and you don't do that, what would you call that? I would say it's disrespectful. You know, God says, hey, I need to talk to you, which is called prayer. So let's pray. Let's hang out together and let's pray. And then you don't do it. So you sort of say, well, God, I don't need to do that. You know, I don't need to go deeper with you in conversation. I don't need to reveal myself a little bit more. And you just say, no, I'm going to blow it off. I don't think that's necessary. You know all things, God, and you got all kinds of excuses, and you kind of go in your head all the reasons why you don't have time to do this. And ultimately, if God has asked you to do something and you don't do it, what would you call that? In part, that's disrespectful. I mean, I think we tend to use, well, I'm disobedient. And I even almost hear that kind of, well, I'm disobedient, you know, get me in trouble, God, you know, do whatever. Let's get it over with. But I want you to begin to see that there's a form of disrespect in this. And it's also dishonoring. I want to challenge you to think that God has given us some very clear instructions on how to live life. I believe that was part of what was the message. And I believe that, you know, all of a sudden you realize and you get caught at this. And I think maybe like Peter, we all of a sudden realize, wow, God, it just hit me. I need to change here. I'm a sinful man. And I just love God's response because he just said, yeah, you're right. You finally get it, Peter. Good job. But instead, that's not our Lord. He says, man, don't be afraid, Peter. I'm glad you're getting it. I'm glad I could bless you. I love you. I really care about you. I wanted to bless you. I wanted to fill your boat so they were so full that they were just sinking. I wanted to make a point. I'm really here for you. But here's what I want from you. I want you to respect me. I want you to honor me. I want you to serve me. Peter, I'm going to use you in some amazing things, but you got to get over this hill. And so do you. We need to get to that place where we are honoring, respecting, trusting, loving, committing our lives to Jesus. And then let him do exceedingly, abundantly more.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.aofc.us or download our app. We hope that you will join us every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m.